And on the subject of music, the 59th Grammy Awards are happening in L.A. this morning. We're particularly excited about the energy around Beyoncé and Adele's nominations and the great Australian artists nominated, including Sia Flume and Keith Urban. To find out more, we're talking to Kat Nelligan, Melbourne-based musician and popular music scholar who's currently completing her PhD at the University of Melbourne. Thank you for joining me, Kat.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Sam.
So, Kat, can you tell us about the apparent competition between Adele and Beyoncé at this year's Grammys?
Yes, look, it's a really interesting thing I've noticed, particularly in the media reports over the last few days. It's been described in quite explicit terms, actually, either as a showdown between Beyoncé and Adele, or even some of the headlines have sort of described it as Beyoncé versus Adele, Adele versus Beyoncé. And it's quite interesting because to me, Beyoncé and Adele, they're very different artists, at least musically. When we think about Beyoncé, she has this sort of, she's pop, but she incorporates aspects of hip hop and R&B. And Adele is probably a little bit more straightforwardly pop in terms of she performs those more traditional type of, those powerhouse ballads. But I think you can understand the comparisons. They've both had really successful albums and singles over the last 12 months. They've both been nominated in those bigger categories, Album of the Year, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and I think they're both up for Best Pop Solo Performance. So, you can understand why they're being sort of pitted against one another. But I think this is quite interesting because it also, when you think about it, it plays into stereotypes about how we see women always in competition with one another. I mean, you see this play out more broadly in popular music. Just the feud between Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift comes to mind. And I think it's that the media likes to jump on these types of things or even conjure them up. So there's something there in the idea that, or of the stereotype that women should and will compete with one another if given the opportunity. And I think that's what that represents a little bit of the media sort of grasping onto that stereotype and that idea.
Of course. And we also have another huge group of Australians nominated this year. Who are some, in fact, I believe Flume already won Best Electronic Artist. Who are some of the best in your opinion?
Who's the best?
Who do you think are some of the best that are out there?
In terms of the Aussie artists?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, well, there's been three nominated. There's Keith Urban, Sia and Flume, as you said. All three are so different. There's no surprises there with Keith Urban at all. He's quite prominent in the music, American music industry more specifically with his own music, but he's also been a judge for The Voice and he's been around for a long, long time. So there's no surprises there with Keith. Sia, it's great to see her receiving recognition at this level. She's been around writing songs for other artists and for herself, performing and recording art songs for herself probably since the mid-1990s, and I think her first album was released in 97. So she's been doing this for quite a long time now, but her first Grammy nomination was in 2013. So when you think about it, that's quite a long time after she sort of got started in the mid-90s. But her bigger year was 2015 when she received four nominations for Chandelier, and two of those were in those big categories of Song of the Year and Record of the Year. So, look, she hasn't won a Grammy. I'd love to see her win because, she's just been doing it for so long and she's a wonderful, fantastic artist. Flume, again, just completely different to sort of, with his doing a lot of remixing but writing his own stuff, self-produced. I think the interesting thing here is that he's an independent artist. So what does that mean for an Aussie independent artist to receive Grammy nominations? And he just won, which is fantastic.
Well, that's actually
that's
a question I'd like to ask. What does it mean to win a Grammy? What does it actually do for musicians and their careers?
Yeah, look, that's a good question. What does it do for any artist, really? I mean, what does it do for an Aussie artist? But what does it do for any artist? I guess first and foremost, most importantly, it provides recognition. I think that's really the essence of it. So we start to think about, the question is, do we start to think about Grammy-winning artists differently? Once they've won a Grammy, do we see them in a different light? Do we ascribe more cultural value and cultural worth to a Grammy-winning artist, particularly here in Australia? Is that something we do? How much weight we give the Grammys here in Australia? And well, these are all really interesting questions. But, I mean, you've got artists like Justin Bieber coming out publicly and saying that the Grammys are irrelevant now and outdated, and Frank Ocean didn't even submit his music this year. But, look, as far as Australians winning Grammys, I guess the question is this. Is there really a tangible benefit beyond having won a Grammy? I think it's good to receive the recognition. I think that's a start, and it's good to have it on this global level. But I think the most important factor here is what comes of this after this recognition? What happens beyond that point? That's probably, I think, the question to really ask.
Right. And Grammy related matters, Lady Gaga's tribute to David Bowie split opinions last year. Can you talk us a little bit through that?
Yes. Yeah, look, I've just written a paper on this with my colleague Liz Giffrey, and there were a lot of disparaging reports on Gaga's performance last year. So many were sort of saying, and I think these were the actual words used, it was too strenuously pop. It was described as being too strenuously pop. And Duncan Jones, who's Bowie's son, tweeted that the performance was too excessive, too excited, too over the top. So, and look, many didn't like the fact that Gaga performed a medley of his work. So they didn't like the fact that she'd sort of chopped up his songs and only performed snippets of it. They thought it was sort of devaluing the contribution Bowie had made to the music industry. But I think what these critiques say more so is, I think it says a lot about our expectations around tributes and homages to artists, particularly, I think, when you're talking about artists of the caliber of David Bowie. So there'll be, you know, someone like Bowie, there's obviously going to be really high expectations around what a tribute should and shouldn't be, what it should deliver and what it shouldn't deliver. And I think this is particularly important when it's a memoriam. I mean, Bowie died and I don't think people really expected that because, I mean, he was unwell, but people didn't know that. That wasn't sort of general knowledge that he was sick. So I think people were in shock. I think they wanted to grieve Bowie. And what Gaga gave them was this sort of visually spectacular performance and a fast-paced performance that sort of tapped into, I think, his early work, a lot of his glam rock work. But I think this is really interesting because Bowie was visually spectacular. Bowie was performative. He was theatrical and he challenged gender norms and binaries. And I think this is the aspect of his work that Gaga was sort of highlighting and tapping into. But people, I don't know, there was this sense of people wanting to see something else, wanting to grieve and wanting to sort of remember him in a different way. So I think that's what it says. I think these disparaging reports say quite a bit about how we want to memorialize artists, how we want to remember them.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Kat, for joining us this morning to speak about the Grammys. It's been really interesting.
Thank you very